morning, church. We're going to be continuing our journey in 1 Corinthians. So if you have a Bible, you might want to turn there. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I hope that as we've been working through Paul's letter to the church in Corinth, that you've been encouraged. Encouraged in a way to know that, you know, that church that he was giving instructions to obviously didn't have it all together. They made a lot of mistakes, and they caused Paul a lot of grief. Yet at the very beginning of his letter, knowing that he was going to have to write all of the correction and instruction and teaching that he was going to have to write, his greeting included these tender words, which is back in chapter 1, but I've got it on the screen here for you. Paul said, "I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge, God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly await our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." I hope that you've been encouraged to know that God is always at work at his church, even churches that have trouble. And while here at ACC, I don't think we have a lot of trouble here, he continues to provide all that we need, including spiritual gifts. He does this not because we are faithful, but because he is faithful. And he will keep us firm to the end. Chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians seems like a long time ago. That's because it was all the way back in January when we started this series. And today, again, we dive into chapter 12. Throughout Paul's letter, he responds to various questions that this troubled young church had posed to him. And in chapter 12, he begins a lengthy section on addressing spiritual gifts, which will take us through chapters 13 and 14 as well. But before we jump in, it would be important to know, what is a spiritual gift anyway? If I did a poll, there's no doubt that probably one of my kids would say, "Spiritual gift? Oh, well, that's when you go to the Christian bookstore and you buy a coffee mug or a trinket with some sort of Bible verse on the side, you wrap it up, and you give it to somebody. That's a spiritual gift, right?" Well, yes and no. I suppose it's a gift that's spiritual in nature, has some spiritual sentiment to it. But that's not the kind of gift that Paul was talking about to the church in Corinth. Actually, for definition, I suppose you could look at it this way. I think we have it for a slide. Spiritual gifts that Paul referred to could be defined as special God-given abilities for every believer in Jesus, used to serve God and other Christians in such a way that Christ is glorified and believers are edified. That's the working definition that we're going to go with for this morning. They are gifts of grace that we don't deserve. Special abilities for God's people, gifts that are meant to be used for his glory to help operate the church effectively and victoriously. And it seems like the Corinthians really didn't understand these gifts very well. They didn't understand their origin or how they were to be used. So Paul takes some time and writes and explains what these gifts are all about. So starting in verse 1 of chapter 12, Paul says this, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed,' and no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit." Paul doesn't want them to be ignorant about these spiritual gifts. And he reminds them, he sneaks in there, the fact that these idols that they used to serve, they were mute. There's a stark contrast between their old expectations with the deities that they served. Those deities were all silent. And there's a contrast between the new expectations as they walk in the light of the one true God, the God who speaks to and through his people. Our God is not mute. And as the psalmist says, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. So Paul makes it clear from the start how we are to discern what spirit is speaking. The actual content of what a person says is very important. Just because something is preached or proclaimed from the pulpit doesn't mean that the Spirit of God is the source of it. Plain and simple, the Spirit of God will never curse Jesus. And the ability to say Jesus is Lord is only possible through the Holy Spirit. Now, this probably seems very obvious to us. But given some of the other ridiculous behavior that Paul had to correct in the Corinthian church, for whatever reason, it must not have been obvious to them that the Spirit of God would never curse Jesus. And just because someone doesn't look like a Christian is supposed to look, if that person proclaims Jesus as Lord, we can trust that the Holy Spirit is behind it. So after making it clear how to discern the Spirit, Paul goes on to inform them of where these gifts originate from. He says it in verses 4 through 6. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. I don't know if you caught the Trinity in there, but verse 4 says that the origins of the gifts is the Holy Spirit. Verse 5 talks about the types of service performed as given by the Lord Jesus. And verse 6 talks about the source of the workings and the effect is from the God the Father. Each part of the Godhead is uniquely involved in the unified activity of empowering the church through gifts expressed in a variety of ways, each with various effect, but all from the same source. God in three persons, Blessed Trinity. Then Paul goes on to inform them why these gifts are given. He does so with a statement that's probably a bit difficult for their prideful hearts to hear. He says in verse 7, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." That's a really important distinction when you're talking about spiritual gifts. The spiritual gift that God has blessed you with is not for you alone. It is for the use of the it is for the common good of the church. A gift is not for an individual's benefit to be buried, but it's for the common good. A spiritual gift is for the building up of the church, and this is reiterated several times by Paul throughout the larger discussion of spiritual gifts in this letter. So much so that in the next chapter, which is Paul's famous love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, I never realized this, but it's right smack dab in the middle of this whole conversation about spiritual gifts. The Corinthians didn't understand how to use their gifts selflessly with the pure motivation of love. Starting then in verse 8, Paul finally gets around to listing the actual gifts of the Spirit that had been entrusted to this church. There are 9 in this particular list. Paul says, To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different types of kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. I don't know if you look and you notice in the list, and I see it's up there now, how many times Paul again reiterates that these are all gifts that are given by one and the same Spirit. This repetition may seem a bit redundant to us, but you have to remember, the Corinthian culture, those that came out of these pagan religions, they came from a polytheistic viewpoint of what God is like. They came from a place where there were thousands of God, and each God had its own specific focus or purpose. In the Corinthian culture, in the Greek gods, you had a god for youth and war and wine and harvest and metal and trade and sea and family. You had a sun god and a music god and a fire god and an art god and a revenge god and a nature god and a love god. And it's no wonder that Paul had to continue to remind them that there is one God, and it's the same Spirit that's responsible for all these various gifts that are given to his church. So let's take a moment and just briefly define these nine gifts that are represented in this particular list. Paul noted, and again, for that particular church, for that particular time. So the first one was the word of wisdom, which could be defined as clear insight into a situation. And then there was the word of knowledge, which was communication of some knowledge that had been previously unknown. The gift of faith was an unusual measure of trust in God. All believers have faith, but the gift, the spiritual gift of faith, is sort of above and beyond. Faith that that is able to trust in God even in extreme circumstances. Paul mentioned the gift of healing, which obviously was to restore health. There was miraculous power, supernatural acts that could only be attributed to God, that he worked through a person. There was prophecy, which was speaking forth God's message. It could be either telling the future or telling truth about what God is saying right now. There was distinguishing between spirits, which was the ability to be able to tell whether or not the person speaking was speaking by the Holy Spirit or something else. Speaking in tongues, which was speaking an unlearned language. Maybe it was actually a foreign language that did exist, or possibly a heavenly language. And lastly in this list was the interpretation of tongues, which was the ability to be able to translate. So scholars are still debating the specific definitions and meanings of these individual gifts and how they may have been practically used and operated in the lives of the people there in the early church. Some of these more spectacular gifts were certainly needed as the church was initially established there in that culture, as it gained its foothold. And then once the church had its footing, those spectacular gifts became less prevalent. There's still debate as to whether or not these gifts are still being used by the Holy Spirit today in the church worldwide. When we hear stories from places in the world like India, where the church is starting for the first time, making ground, it's not surprising to hear stories of miraculous gifts being on display through the church in that setting. just because I haven't seen it or we haven't seen it here doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit isn't doing it here in this world. He is using his gifts through his church to bring glory to his name and to edify or build up the church. And by the way, if you didn't see your spiritual gift in that list, remember, this isn't the only place that you'll find the spiritual gifts in the New Testament. There's actually some other lists. There's another list at the end of 1 Corinthians 12. I think I have them. Maybe on the next slide. There we go. There's also some in Romans 12. There are also a couple listed in 1 Peter. Depending on how you define them, there may be other gifts in the New Testament that I don't have listed here. And as you can see, there's a variety of gifts that the Spirit is using in you, his people. By the way, you might notice that there's no spiritual gift of sit back and watch others do the mission. I don't think you're going to find that one in the New Testament anywhere. Guidance? Maybe. We'll have to investigate that. Every believer has a gift. And if the church is to be effective, as it should, we need everyone to use their gift. Completing the Great Commission will require the mobilization of every devoted disciple of Jesus, each employing the special abilities that God has given him or her. And without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, we can accomplish nothing. Many of these gifts are present here at ACC through you, his people. We are not lacking anything we need to accomplish the work that the Lord has given us. There's one other comment that Paul makes at the end of this list that's important for us to make sure we give credence to. Usually when people look at these lists, they don't like verse 11 all that much. Our pride and our flesh doesn't like this one. Paul says, all of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. We serve a God who is generous, and he loves to give his children good gifts. These gifts of the Spirit are given as the Spirit determines. We are not invited to earn them or pick them or choose them or trade them. All of God's people, whether you are extraordinary or ordinary, whether you are young or old, whether you are new to the faith or been around a long time in the faith, all of God's people have at least one spiritual gift given for the purpose of glorifying God and for the common good of the church, whenever and wherever the church is in action. And the usage of the spiritual gifts is certainly not limited to just Sunday morning gatherings. When we disperse from here, your gift goes with you. And it's important to ask Jesus, how do you want me to use my gift? Over the course of the next few weeks, we'll work through the remaining chapters of Corinthians. And we'll be spending some additional time considering the spiritual gifts and how they are to be used in the context of our church family. Because you believed the gospel and your faith is in Jesus, when you believed in him, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. And because you have the Holy Spirit indwelling in you, he has given you spiritual gifts, and Jesus has given you ministries, And God the Father is responsible for the results. God has provided a place for you to use your areas of giftedness, and you can glorify God. You have the ability to glorify Jesus and to bless someone with the gift that you have been given. So where here at ACC or outside the walls of ACC can you serve with the gifting that God has given you? Actually, here at ACC, there's a ton of opportunities. And just to name a few, you know, we need people on the worship team and in the sound booth. We need God's people to serve as Sunday school teachers and nursery workers and in the kitchen and to help with janitorial maintenance tasks. We need people to help set up and tear down tables for our Second Sunday fellowship. We need those who are skilled in helping to track church finances and help plan worship services and visit shut-ins and create and print and fold and pass out that bulletin that was in your hands this morning. We need people to open and greet at the door. We need people to help make coffee, to help in the nursery, decorating, to pray with someone. You could serve on the benevolence team. You could help in the nursery. Kyra said she'd pay me $5 for every time I said help in the nursery. So, you could help with upcoming VBS. You could help at the party at the park outreach. You could help maintain the swing set, or you could help in the nursery. There's an endless list of ways to get involved here at ACC and to make this place operate like God intended it to. And very, very few of the tasks that need to be done require an official title. There are certain things that are for the pastor to do or for an elder to do. But it's the vast majority of them, it's people without titles, without platform, without positions. That's how the church works. We're a family, and everyone has a place to contribute to the household of God because God has gifted you with spiritual gifts through the power of His Holy Spirit so that Christ will be lifted up to all men. And so Annie hit it on the head. Not only do I need to be asking Jesus, what do you need me to know or what do you want me to know about my unsaved neighbor? But we need to be asking Jesus, Lord, how do you want me to use my spiritual gift? You may not even know what your spiritual gift is yet. And that's okay. In my personal experience, I've found that it's easier to recognize or identify and label gifts in other people than it is for me to look in the mirror or my own experience and to be able to see a spiritual gift. And if I do happen to recognize it, it's almost always in the rearview mirror after the fact. Rarely do I see the functionality of a gift coming or recognize it in the moment that it's occurring in my life. It's not important to label or define your gift in order for God to use you. You don't even have to know what your gift is. Just jump in and serve. I guarantee you, if you're seeking God's heart, God, what do you want me to know or do today? He will speak. He will reveal himself to you, for our God is not mute. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. I am very thankful for the ways that you here at ACC use your gifts. And just as Paul gave sincere thanks regarding the church in Corinth, in the same way, I can give sincere thanks for the grace that is work here in the body of Christ that meets at 5610 Lehmeyer Road. I praise God that I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge, God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus to be revealed. He will keep you firm to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word, and I know in my own experience that sometimes this whole idea of spiritual gifts brings with it a lot of baggage. For your church, historically, has, like the church in Corinth, many times gotten it wrong when it comes to spiritual gifts. Lord, I pray that you would help us as a body to operate in such a way that we just love one another. And that in that, you will empower us and fill us to be the church that you desire for us to be, so that your name can be proclaimed to the neighbors, to the city, to the region, to the world. I thank you that you are generous, and that your generosity is not like a light switch here. You're always at work through your people. I pray that we would know you better, that you would increase our faith, that we would trust and step out in our circles of influence, and that you would fill us with your power. Please use us. Maybe we won't even realize it. For the glory of your name, I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.